Welcome to BBBBBB. BB? I lost track of how many B's we have there. We have a very exciting episode this week. Actually, it's not a super exciting episode, so if you don't want to hear it, you can just turn it off right now. I'm joined by Charlie Hume, Charlie Kravitz, Elizabeth Bierman, and Lorenzo Rodriguez. Charlie Kravitz is usually the most positive person in here. Well, between Charlie and Eliz, for sure, are the two most positive people in here. And Mr. Krav seems to be having a bit of a down day. He doesn't have a ton of energy today. We have a ton of things that we can get to. We can do basketball. We can do baseball. We can do Big Brother. We can do jelly beans. We can do Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. I mean, we have a ton of things that we can talk to. But I kind of feel bad because you don't seem like super into it. I want to know what we can do to kind of get your spirits up for this episode.
I just want to hear Lorenzo's rundown. Lorenzo said he has a lot to talk about in Salasan.
This is your trick.
And like,
for
what I need to do is I need to get a pick me up, and that's why Lorenzo's normally not with us on the top of the show, but I think he's here to give me the pick me up I need to succeed. And he said he has a ton to talk about.
Lorenzo's being mysterious this week because last week we were going to have an episode and there was some miscommunication and we didn't have an episode last week. And Lorenzo was really bummed about the fact that there wasn't an episode last week. And he kept telling me, I really just wanted to do an episode this week. And then today he was writing me a G-chat early during the radio show. And he's like, I can't wait to record today. I can't wait for this episode. And I'm like, what are you so excited about? What do you want to talk about? He's like, I just really want to do an episode. So he's being very coy today about what he wants to discuss, which kind of concerns me a little bit.
I'm going to be honest. I have just a few little stories planned here, but really, I like just the organic conversation and us, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 fine amigos have, sometimes 6 with Allison, the spur of the moment conversations that just result from, I don't know, Chunky Dog talking about golf or Eliz's recipes.
What a terrible start. He could have gone right to the stories.
Listen, I have one really good one. I know it's going to pick Charlie Kravitz up, but I cannot.
Can you just tease it?
Wait, so you have the pick-me-up. You have the story that will pick us up and get us on our way, and you won't tell it.
It's certainly not the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Day Parade, because that's
you're talking about production. You're literally saying, I have the roadmap to good production, and yet I will not follow that.
The only thing he added to our rundown was life on Venus, ? So I really hope that that's not what the pick-me-up is, because that's the only thing you added to the doc that we have of what we would talk about today.
That could be a pick me up. That could be terrifying, because if Venus actually has,
will you tell the story?
You want the pick me up, or you want Venus,
the pick me up?
Venus, life on Venus.
No, I saw the tweet.
No,
about
Let's go with the pick me up.
Let's just try the pick me up on the top. If it's really good, we can edit it in the back half of the show. Yeah. We'll all find out together. But you won't, because you don't listen to it. So
do you think that we're going to be building up to your pick-me-up? Like, why wouldn't we just start off the top?
Maybe it's my lightning round submission, and I don't want to use it right now, because I have to come up with
it. Is that what it is?
Maybe. I don't know.
What is it? Yes, can you just tell us what it is?
Pick-me-up. What is this pandemic missing? What have we seen? We've seen the return of basketball. We've seen football come back now in some form. Baseball is also gearing up towards the playoffs. What have all those sports been missing, other than fans?
I don't know. What?
I have no
and something
idea.
That our life desperately needs now for to pick you guys up. Mascots. That's right. Charlie was about to say it. Mascots. And this is not the idea that I gave Billy one time about getting a Levitard show mascot. That's for another day. My submission to you guys, I recently have taken a little hiatus from the Twitter machine. There's too much going on Twitter. Most of it just agitating and infuriating.
That's another thing he told me today, very matter of fact. He goes, thank God I'm not on Twitter anymore. And I was like, I feel like he's fishing for me to ask him about this, but I can't do it right now because I'm super busy.
It really is. I usually
Renzo tweeted that his pinned tweet is himself saying he took a break from Twitter on August
3rd. That's
right. 30. Oh, you didn't
I gotta let
that.
It.
No,
hey,
there's more to the story. His most recent tweet after that is September 6th. So he has not actually taken the
break. Which was a Twitch stream with one chunky dog. We did a trial run.
You also liked the five hours ago.
The soft open, which tweet?
It seems like you're not really doing a good job of this hiatus. Which tweet? The one about life on Venus.
It's about life on Venus.
And then you liked the tweet from Sarah Spain two days ago, and you liked one by Mina two days ago. And you liked one from 2015, a PTI tweeted out within the last week. I don't know what you were doing on PTI's 2015 Twitter. It was about a mustache that Tony Kornheiser had.
Kornheiser's crazy mustache. I ran into that tweet through a through an article. I forget where.
By the way, I think you did pick me up, and I can tell you why. Because I get to, I'm looking around this for the audience who can't see what I'm seeing. I'm looking at the Zoom, and I can see Billy and Charlie and Eliz and Lorenzo, and I got to literally watch all of the joy leave Charlie Hume's body as you started rambling there, which is
we still haven't gotten
the key to getting me really excited. So keep going, Zo. Explain
mascots. More. So yes, I proposed to Billy one time that the show should get a mascot. But what's like the homeland of all mascots?
Disney World.
No, that's a good guess. But
ooh, I know. Furry conventions.
It's actually Japan. Japan is well known for its multitude of mascot characters, or Yuru Chara is what they call them out there.
Are you back to the thing where you steal John Oliver's idea again about the city mascots?
And there is a great website actually that I found through last week tonight on Twitter. He goes by the handle of Mondo Mascots, and he does have a blog. It's a guy named Chris Carlier. He's a writer, illustrator who lives in Tokyo, but he shares all the photos and run-ins with all these Japanese mascot characters, and there are some phenomenal ones.
So wait, so let me get this straight. Give me this straight. So this was your big ace in the hole pick-me-up, is you were going to show us pictures on an audio medium. How does this happen every week to us?
This specific idea comes from the audience, so every three months.
Mondo Mascots.
M-O-N-D-O Mascots, is that how you do it? Okay.
Here, if you allow me to share, we can share in some of these wonderful mascots.
Can we comment on them because no one can see them? That doesn't make any sense.
We can see Coronan. She is a new anti-coronavirus cat, and she hands out masks throughout Tokyo.
I'm editing all of this out of the podcast, but thank you for to pick me up for Charlie Kravitz.
I'm picked up now. Let's go.
I'm just kind of confused. So last week tonight did this, and Lorenzo's now trying to redo it on this podcast.
Oh, no, that's Chiton. Hold up. That's Chiton. He's like the big one. That's like Chiton's like the most famous of the mascots.
Chiton was actually the mascot from the last week tonight skit.
That's correct.
So wait.
This is
mascots, man. Who hates mascots other than Mike Wobon?
They're great.
Hates mascots.
A visual show in which you can show last week tonight.
Okay, wait, fine.
Wait for a mascot segment.
Pivot. Show people pivot. The mascots. Charlie Kravitz. Who are the top four mascots of all time?
Is this a pivot?
Segway. It's more of a segue. We go from talking about Japanese mascots into the greatest mascots.
Just so you know, and I'm not 100% on this, I'm pretty sure Eliz is just doing work because she's clearly not paying attention to you. And I see things like flashing on her face. So I think she's just totally, like, as have the listeners that are still around. Well, I guess they're not still around because they've already tuned out. But Eliz kind of also just tuned out on this this whole mascot last week tonight podcast thing that you're doing.
All I hear is a lot of criticism from people who are not bringing their own submissions to the table for topics. I gave you mascots from Japan. What have you given me, Billy?
I'm shocked that you are not all about this Jelly Bean Willy Wonka.
That's on my list as well, yes.
Well, where is this list?
You wanted the ace in the hole. Huh?
Where's this list of yours? Because a list doesn't...
Like, show me your doc. And there is a doc.
Well, because Zoe...
And you just got to just rip right through it.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
How am I supposed to ask you about things that you're interested in if you have a secret list and nobody knows what you want to talk about?
Organic conversations, Billy.
I don't think I've ever
it all goes back around.
And we find and you do
Billy, excellent Billy, job. Why don't you understand that this is your fault for not making an organic conversation?
May I ask you a question? Because someone put a link in the doc to Taco Bell launching a wine.
Yo, thank you, Charlie. Organic moment there.
That looks amazing. Jalapeno Noir?
I think is it jalapeno noir? Or did they keep the añe?
They kept the añe, but I think that they want it to be pronounced jalapeno noir, right? Jalapeno, and they left the noir, though it's peño, because then it makes more sense, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's jalapeno business.
What? Is this something that you guys would get?
Honestly, well, here's the thing. I'm a Baja Blast loyalist as a Taco 100%. Bell expert, and 100%. A lot of times I'm getting Taco Bell already drunk, and so my purchases are volatile. Like, so there's always a chance I would pick up a bottle of Jalapeno Noir along with the 32-ounce Baja Blast.
I would do it once as like I'm intrigued sort of factor. Like, I just want to try this out. I'm not sure that I would ever do it again because that feels like one of those novelty menu items where you go in to check it out. But I didn't realize, I guess it's just recently, where Taco Bell are doing these cantina sites where you can drink alcohol on the premises. Which
they have one in Virginia right by here, which I stumbled upon. And I was like, wait a minute, they have wine and beer and all this.
But is it the same food menu, though? Did the ingredients get any better?
They actually do have a fancier menu at the cantina. They have like a Chipotle style menu of like some like or like more organic menu items, as well as they play the hits.
See, that was somewhat of an organic transition. I'm still trying to figure out how we would organically have gotten to you talking about Japanese mascots. Like, that's what I don't understand.
Did you see the latest one I posted?
No.
Yorizu.
Oh my God.
A white elephant with a flower for a tail. Oh. And he's the mascot for JA Bank. But look at him. He has a little flower and a bee's.
No one can look at him.
I sent you the link. Mondo mascots.
Everyone who's listening to this can't look at him. They can't open up the link because they're not in this Zoom.
Everyone has a phone. Just look up Yorizu.
You're just going to phonetically just spell out the name of this mascot and track him down? This is the most it's amazing, Lorenzo. It's absolutely amazing.
I have picked up.
I've got two of my top four mascots.
No less than once a week.
I've got my list of two out of four.
I have a visual segment for this podcast. It actually blows my mind.
The Phoenix Suns girl has to be on like top of the list.
That's number one.
And Charlie, absolutely. Why do you think you could deny him from going forward with his list?
Can I ask a question?
What are you thinking, Charlie?
Well, I still haven't finished it out.
Wait, hold on a second.
Wait, you haven't finished your list.
I have two out of the four. Yuppies.
Maybe you brought half the list.
Four? Yeah. You just said I have a top 10 list of mascots. Then
no,
said
I said
I have
top
two
four.
Of the
it's
four.
Rushmore.
And then also said you're number one as the first one that you revealed.
He's like the George Washington on the Rushmore.
Elis, how are you getting in there today?
Because he dunks.
I'm not following anything.
Elis, what are your top four mascots?
Let's hear Elis's list.
Your top four mascots all time.
I wouldn't even know where to begin. I've given so little thought to that.
Really? Willie the Wildcat does not make it.
Who is that?
What?
Willie the Wildcat.
In basketball news,
this is Zoe's team.
The Heat made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. They're going to play the Celtics. So, a first time in 6 years? It's the first time they're in the Eastern Conference Finals?
2014, LeBron's final year. And we might be facing LeBron in the finals. How about that? That's going to be great, isn't that?
He should be the Heat's mascot in the bubble.
So I'm very surprised that you yourself have never been a mascot at any level, like high school or college.
I once got to portray our high school mascot, Waldo. Waldo the Wolverine.
And were you Waldo the Wolverine for, you
just
said
one
once.
Game. It was just one game. I bugged, I forget who it was.
Doesn't matter. No one knows the name you're going to say.
Waldo. I bugged Waldo. Hey, Waldo, can I be you for a half? And the suit smelled, it was stanky and hot in South Florida weather. You can imagine. But it was so much fun. It's just getting everyone riled up and little chants.
Did you practice these chants beforehand?
Well, you can't. As a mascot, the mascots don't speak, Billy, but you like.
No, I'm saying like at home, like in front of the mirror or whatever. Like, I hope you didn't just go into it like without any sort of practice.
No, I've been practicing my whole life for that moment. What are you talking about?
People forget that Lorenzo was an extra on Indiana Jones.
That's right. Like three times.
Digny. Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, bro.
How about that? Billy, good job.
Billy, you were memory on you. You were quick to dismiss whoever the actual Waldo was, but the last time we had a auxiliary character appear in a Lorenzo story. We really got, we got a lot of traction out of it. Digny.
Yeah.
That was the ultimate Digny callback.
That was. That's amazing.
Eliz, last time we checked in with you, we were talking about Velveeta, and you had never tried Velveeta. I was supposed to try Kraft. I have a confession.
You didn't hold up your end of the bargain.
I didn't try Kraft yet. No, I planned on doing it during the podcast so that I could get a live reaction. But someone sent me the best way to make Kraft mac and cheese, and it seems very involved and not like something that I could do quickly, involving water and boiling things and all kinds of stuff that I didn't know. I didn't know it was that complicated. But you have tried Velveeta, have you not?
I have.
And?
It was not bad.
Oof.
I liked the ease to make it, how easy it was. No measuring, no other ingredients. You just squeeze out the liquid gold on the hot pasta. But flavor-wise, I think that Annie's and Kraft still have like a sharper cheddar flavor. I'm not changing my rankings.
Wow.
Wow, we led you astray.
I like the cheese section, that like the dairy section of Wegmans.
Love Wegmans. I wish there was a Wegmans here. Yeah.
Lorenzo, what are your top four cheeses?
Ooh.
Talk about that.
Camembert is certainly in
there. Is that really your top four cheeses?
Yeah. I love Camembert.
Wait, can we go around and say everyone's top three cheeses?
Let's do it.
I know it was four, but I couldn't think of four immediately off the top of my
head. Is it Camembert or
Camembert? It's our first lightning round right here.
I was just going to say, should we save this for the lightning round? But you know what?
Let's kill a little lightning round.
We're going to go around the horn really quickly. Everybody's top three cheeses. Lorenzo, you're going to go last because it takes you a long time to figure out what you want to do.
All right.
Mr. Krabs, what are your top three cheeses?
Okay. Put a lot of thought into this. Number one cheese in the game, in my opinion, going off the board here. Yeah, big high upside play. It's limited in use, but it's a really great one trick pony. And that number one cheese is halloumi.
Oh,
a Greek spice cheese. When fried into Saganaki, it's an electric factory. This is the Randy Moss of cheeses. It's
grill it.
Top off the deep.
Grill it.
Taking that first overall. Do you boo the pick or cheer the pick?
Cheer.
Cheer. That's a big number one
Let's
pick.
Let's go.
I love that pick.
Okay.
Are you going all the way through? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. My second pick in my cheese draft. I'm going to go simple here. And I'm going to go with an aged sharp cheddar. Not too soft, not too hard. It's ultra versatile. It's on grilled cheeses. It's on other sandwiches. It's really good with a little bit of apple, maybe some pear. Just a really solid cheese.
Have you ever had grilled cheese with sharp cheddar and apple in it?
The best.
So good.
The best. Third cheese, I'm just going burrata. Just a great cheese. Yeah. Just a nice, soft, creamy cheese. Can be used for pizzas, salads, caprese salids, which lettuce-free salads, I should say. Mm-hmm. Also good on sandwiches. Just good with balsamic vinegar or glaze, salt and pepper, little acid. Top-notch cheese. Those are my
top. This is making me hungry.
Yeah.
I'd like to, if I can, I'd like to do my three cheeses here just because I'm kind of ashamed. I'm not someone that eats a lot of, like, fun things. Like, I'm pretty boring. So, like, my cheeses are going to be boring, so I want to get them out of the way very quickly so then you guys can go back to your fun cheeses and, like, your refined cheeses and just forget about my cheeses. Ready? So I'm just going to do it really quickly. Ready? I'm going to say Munster, I'm going to say American, and I'm going to say mozzarella cheese. That's it. I'm going to keep moving, and you guys are not even going to judge
Munster
me.
Is Munster is great. I love Munster cheese.
The perfect melt.
I don't think I've had that many different cheeses. I mean, I'm sure I have.
You have to expand your palate, your cheese palate, Billy.
Well, I have to go to Wegmans, it sounds
That's right.
So if I could jump in and cheese it up right here myself, because I'm going to give you three options you can all get at your local Whole Foods, okay? Let me just start by just double stamping everything Charlie Kravitz said, because he gave you three A-plus cheeses there. I would be the lie to eat any of those cheeses, especially people overlook a good cheddar. People think cheddar is basic, boring. You can do a lot with cheddar. But I'm going to go, for my three cheeses, I'm going to go the Pepper Jack at Whole Foods. The one that is, you go to the deli, they throw it on a slicer, they slice that bad boy up. You can do so much with Pepper Jack. You can get a little spice in your meal. You can throw it on a burger. You can throw it on a turkey sandwich.
Yep.
You can just eat a straight slice of pepper jack. I do it often. I probably do it too much. Love pepper jack. Another great cheese that I think is overlooked a lot is the Havarti cheese. Havarti is a great sandwich cheese, and I think that it's got like sort of a unique sort of flavor to it that is that gives your sandwich. It's great on a turkey, great with a little bit of avocado on the sandwich. Havarti, great cheese. My last whole food specific recommendation is they sell, I think it's this little, it's like this little, it's a cylindrical wooden box, and they sell goat brie. Have we done this before? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, okay. I think I've had it on a charcuterie board at your apartment. It's a delight.
I love a brie. I think we discussed this on a podcast episode that never was published before. Love a good brie cheese. Whole Foods, go brie. Can't go wrong.
Or go home.
Those are my cheeses.
All right, Eliz, do you have your three favorite cheeses?
I do, but are we really treating this like a draft? Like if someone has claimed your cheese, you can't.
No,
I don't think none of us can surpass Charlie Kravitz's.
I was trying to do different cheeses. We heard a lot of good cheeses, trying to give you some other options.
So far, the only cheese, and I am not one to yuck others' yums, the only cheese that has been mentioned so far that I am not all about is pepper jack. I just don't like the spicy cheese. But number one cheese has been mentioned before. Sharp cheddar. Put it on a burger, put it in grilled cheese, eat it off the block. Love sharp cheddar and very undervalued snack, Charlie Kravitz, a crisp apple with some cheddar. Number two, fresh mozzarella. I would incorporate burrata into that mix, but like the little pearls, a big ball that you can slice, just delicious on a margarita pizza when it's particularly fresh. Delightful. And number three, not yet mentioned, a nice goat cheese. Not a goat brie, but like a crumbly goat cheese.
Yeah.
So much tang. So good.
Yeah, so good. Reminds me of like a more solid cream cheese, kind of. If cream cheese could count, heck, I would include cream cheese in my top.
I was thinking about string cheese. I was thinking about mac and cheese. I was thinking of all types of
queso.
Queso?
Ooh.
But see, I would say that those are cheese dishes or like preparations of cheese. So, Billy, I would argue that you can still get string cheese because you said mozzarella.
Okay.
Yeah. Zell, you're up.
Cheese yes. So do you have your list yet of cheeses? Also, if it wasn't edited out of the podcast, which there's like a good 85% chance it was, do you have your Mount Rushmore of mascots yet, Zell? Because we're waiting on that, too.
Well, like I said, I've gotten the Phoenix Suns gorilla. Yuppie's in there, Benny the Bull, Philly Fanatic, but there's still others getting votes.
I'm surprised that you didn't do like San Diego Chicken.
No, he's good, but he gets owned by Kane at the Royal Rumble. No, at WrestleMania.
Let's just get to the cheeses, Lorenzo.
It was Pete Rose, by the way. My cheeses, well, I've established already one was Camembert. Camembert, if you want to be fancy. Some people have said here American cheddar, but I like the zag, one other zig. And I'm going to go with Australian cheddar. It is a little bit more tangy. It's like a white cheddar. I had it once. It's a company, Old Croc, and it's delicious.
That must have been quite the moment for you if you had it once and it's in your top four cheeses.
Oh, yeah. We do a lot of wine and cheesing around here, but that's certainly it in there. And the other one that I will say that is top on my list, I'm a big tangy blue cheese fan, so you got to go Gorgonzola. Salty, it's got a little bite right when you bite into it.
Actually gonna say
steak.
If I were ranking cheeses, take whatever the full number of cheeses in the world is, and then whatever that last number is, that's where I would put blue cheese.
Wow.
Blue cheese haters here. You get a little bit of honey though to counteract the bite.
Well, see that, and so okay, I'm back, Lorenzo, because that's the only way I can really stomach a stinky cheese is when you get the whole spread and you've got like the honey or the
or like a grainy mustard.
Mm-hmm. But the mustard I feel like is different. It's like you need like that sweet, and it's like another like sort of like a jam, like
fig jam.
Fig and blue cheese, or fig and goat cheese, really, but I think you can expand it to blue cheese too.
You little cracker, you hit it with some sweet stuff, throw the stinky cheese on top, all of a sudden it tastes palatable. So
Thank you, guys. I know what I'm doing after this podcast record. I'm going to get a cheese board set up for this weekend.
I once had a roommate when I was interning as a production assistant for ESPN. I had a roommate that I would come back from late shifts at like, you know, 2 or 3 a.m. And this roommate would be severely inebriated and shirtless in the middle of our shared apartment. And he would put provolone cheese on one of his pectorals and he'd put turkey on the other one, just like a stack. And he would just be watching TV and he'd put the meat and the cheese together and make roll-ups and just eat them. And that was like his meal for the night. Pretty creative, if I'm being honest. You know,
it's certainly creative.
His chest was like his plate, kind of.
It was like he was saving dishes. Mm-hmm. He was cutting out carbs, no bread. And he was also not making a mess with any condiments. It's just like meat and cheese, you know?
A strong argument for not having plates or silverware.
Well, that sounds like as good a segue as any other to see if Elis has a recipe this week.
I do. I was going to go with turkey sloppy joes. I genuinely can't remember if I've shared that recipe before, but now I kind of want to share my recipe for baked brie as we were talking about.
This will be a very cheesy episode.
Well, so my two favorite cheese, maybe not my favorite two cheese recipes, but number one, I am a big fan, like I previously mentioned to Charlie Kravitz, of a grilled cheese with some thinly sliced Granny Smith apple. Hot take, love it on a cinnamon raisin bread. Really mix that like sweet, salty.
Not a hot take at all.
Delicious. But the recipe for baked brie, which I think I might have shared also on that same episode that never saw the light of day. Very simple. Grab a favorite fruit preserve or jam. I tend to go with apricot or raspberry, and a wheel of brie cheese and some sliced almonds, and you put it in a little baking dish and you spoon some jam on top of the brie, and then you sprinkle the almonds on top and you bake it until it gets a little soft on the inside and the jam gets a little drippy, almonds get a little toasty. You grab some crackers or some baguette and you've got a really delicious baked brie. No puff pastry.
That sounds delightful.
That's delicious. Just to circle back on one of our earlier topics, is they created that Taco Bell wine to pair it with like a cheesy gordita. I think that was the whole story there. So this really has been a cheese-centric episode from a lot of different angles.
I got really excited because I thought you were going to circle back to mascots. One thing that actually gave me great joy today, or last week actually when I brought this up to you, the Jelly Belly Candy Factory giveaway. Have you seen this?
Yes.
Jelly Belly is doing a remarkable new campaign where they are giving away not only a ton of cash, but they're giving away an entire candy factory. This is Willy Wonka in real life.
Have you looked into the details of this or no?
Yeah, you have to pay like $50.
Yeah,
it's a little sketch. I'm right there with you, but
so the way
you could win a candy factory.
No, you can't.
This is true.
That's not true. The way that it works, because at least I did a little research on this today. The founder of the Jelly Belly Jelly Bean Company is an older man at this point, and he seems to have wanted to create this whole Willy Wonka type thing. Also, one detail that I saw in there, he sold the Jelly Belly company, so I'm not exactly sure what he's giving away. But he has a website. I think it's thegoldticket.com or something like that.
Just and you, blatant you, ripoff of Willy Wonka.
You go on this website.
And Michael Scott.
You go on this website, and you pay $50, and they've hidden a gold dog tag in each state, or in the process of hiding a gold dog tag in each state, and you pay $50, and then they send you a clue via Facebook message. And I think they're only selling 1,000 clues per state. And if you go on,
$50 for the clue.
Yes, $50 for the clue, but there's only 1,000 clues that are being sold at $50. They're making a ton of money, it sounds like, right? And if your state's not on there, they've already sold the clues for your state. And then at the end, you, I guess, win by finding this dog tag. And it's unclear to me what the step is between finding this dog tag and winning a candy factory. But you don't even win a candy factory. You just win a key to a candy factory. But again, Zoe, you're very excited about wanting to win a candy factory.
Yeah, after you gave the details, it kind of took the wind out of my sail. But the premise seemed good.
Billy,
but it seems like the Jelly Belly ex-founder or ex-owner.
Yeah. Billy, so I just watched the video on that homepage, and this has some big Jose Canseco and Morgan vibes.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't think this is going anywhere.
How do you think this is working, by the way? You think that these two people are just going around and like randomly putting a dog tag like in a mailbox or something, and then someone comes across it like, what is this? And then it just ends up in the trash.
Oh, it got found. I guess we gotta take that off the website.
Hey, it's a gold dog tag. My dog could use this. It was the factory.
Wow.
Wait, you don't put dog tags on dogs, do you?
You think we can tell, I don't know if we've told this on a podcast before, do you think that we can tell any details of the Jose Canseco Morgan story that you reference, Chunky Dog, or not really?
The funny thing about the Sasquatch expedition that Billy and I were going to go on with Jose Canseco was that we had multiple like calls with high-level ESPN executives, one of which there was an ESPN executive on the phone with Jose Canseco, and I was just in the room on speaker witnessing all this happening, where I'm like, wow, like there is a good chance that Billy and I in the very near future are going to be on an RV hunting for Sasquatch with Jose Canseco. And then it just all sort of fell apart.
With, by the way, a very serious budget that they had said, we are willing to put this up and turn it into, I think the plan was to make it like an ESPN Plus, like mini series, right?
That was the plan. That was, we kind of had a couple.
Wow.
We had a couple episodes sketched out. We kind of had a rough logistics in place where it was like, if they agree to this and we make the spend for what Jose Canseco wants us to spend, then and I think at the time it was like we made a pretty significant bid, but he was like, oh, there are other bids out there that are much larger. And we're like, okay, well, cool. If any of those fall through, let us know. Then it sounds like all of them fell through because it never happened.
You know what I think happened, and there's no way of proving this. I think what happened was it got too real for them, right? Like when you came at them with the proposed budget and the proposed offer, because he was supposedly taking offers from different companies of what, you know, the exclusive rights for this TV expedition to find Bigfoot. I think when you guys came at him with a serious, legitimate offer, they're like, oh, crap. Like, what do we do now? Because we have to produce a Sasquatch and we can't just randomly drive people into the middle of the Las Vegas desert, which was part of the plan, right? And they didn't want to like allow multiple people on this RV. So like I was having serious conversations with my wife where I'm like, just so you know, like this thing's kind of gotten away from us really quickly. And in 2 or 3 weeks, I may need to fly to Las Vegas and go into the desert on this RV. And no one's really allowed on the RV except two people. And we were asking if they could follow behind the RV in like a production van. And they said that it was like a top secret location. So there was a little bit of a fight on that front. So if I leave, I may never see you again. But just know this, if I do disappear, what a story, huh? What a way to go out. And my wife didn't seem to find that as entertaining as I did.
I think that it's definitely all of that. I think, you know, we both knew we were never going to see Sasquatch on this trip.
But
you don't say.
No, what? No, because you guys, I'm kind of miffed that you guys didn't bring your monster expert here. I could have told you that there was a Sasquatch in the desert.
Lorenzo,
what the hell? Who goes searching for, there's no forest there.
The whole point of this was to spend an extended weekend on an RV with Jose Canseco and film all of this and turn this into
probably
highly entertaining E-plus series. And I think that was probably also what they figured out at a certain point. Like, wow, they're asking questions about specific production logistics that we don't have great answers to. And if we just say yes to these things, they're going to have like a real upper hand in terms of how they tell the story. And then I think Morgan's probably like, maybe we shouldn't do this, Jose. And then Jose was, you know, reluctantly agreed to not go on the Sasquatch expedition. But
then he opened a car wash.
Vegas desert.
Then he opened a car wash.
And we were invited to the grand opening for that on like a day's notice.
on literally a day's notice to Las Vegas. Like, sorry, Morgan, I don't think we can swing it. But yeah, I mean, that would have been. I would not have feared for your safety. I think it would have been total chaos, and I think it would have made for a great E-plus series.
It would have been something, that's for sure. I mean, when we were getting updates and you're like, yeah, don't worry about this, because I told you about like the concerns that I had. You're like, oh, don't worry, Disney security is involved. I'm like, okay, I feel more comfortable with that because I feel like they're not really going to let me get in a position. Also, when I found out they were involved, I'm like, yeah, this is never going to happen. Like, they're never going to allow just an employee to go off on an RV into the middle of the desert with someone who's going to find a Sasquatch.
Yeah, it would have been a great excursion, but you know, yeah, that's about what I feel like is going to happen with this Jelly Bean guy.
I was living vicariously through Billy when he was telling me the updates of this because I thought that's the slam dunk, or in using baseball terminology for Jose, a home run.
Thanks for that. Before I couldn't relate, but now?
Yeah, now.
I know what you're talking
about. Because, wow. I mean, you could have gone.
That metaphor was out. I mean,
yes, so you start with the Sasquatch.
I'm surprised you didn't go with Grand Slam.
You venture out into like the Chupacabra. You can go after like the flat woodlands monster in Virginia.
Lorenzo, this last Slenderman.
Lorenzo was a real walk-off.
Oh, my. Urban legend.
Why are you talking over everyone?
My timing is horrible on these Zoom
calls. He's doing that thing where he lists things that he knows about. Like we said, mythical creature, and he's like, "Oh, there are six more of these that I must tell you about."
Bummed to hear about this because it has promise. Who doesn't want to see?
Okay. So
this is like Mike Tyson Mysteries in live action. Like you guys in a van or an ATV roaming the desert, combing the desert, looking for Roswell gray aliens.
So I know you're very enthusiastic about this stuff, but let Charlie and Billy tell the story about the thing they were involved in. That's a good story for the audience.
Tell us more about the never going to happen. Damn it, Jose.
Please tell us more about our chances of seeing a chupacabra in the desert.
Well, Billy knows. Billy knows about early 90s Hispanic television. Univision had this show called Primer Impacto, and that's where we met we knew him from before, but the rest of the world kind of started learning about people like Walter Mercado because he was on the show. He gave his astrology zodiac readings there. But
sorry, I muted him. I apologize.
That's okay. I mean, you know.
It's
intriguing. It always starts out, and you're like, I guess I want to hear this out. And then.
But Primer Impacto had a daily story on like the werewolf people of Mexico or like the Chupacabra. The Chupacabra was a big thing in the 90s. In fact, like South Florida had a run-in or some run-ins with the Chupacabra.
Mm-hmm.
Like, chickens showed up, cool. Slaughtered right. On the street. I thought it was an alien, not, you know, something. Yeah, but whatever.
Elis. Just curious if you have any, if you want to save us with any final thoughts here, please. Pretty please.
I don't even know if I can.
Wow.
Work hard, be kind. Jesus is great.
We really did cut into.
Wow. Wow, Zell.
Jesus talk. We really dug in there and cut to the chase.
Yeah.
I had a B. That I would like to know. This is very.
What's your B? We didn't get to your B today.
I'm trying to establish a seventh B on this podcast.
Establish it.
Today's B is boasts. So last week I tried botany with the Arboretum visit. This week it's boasts. And with this.
Can you spell that?
Boasts. Boasts. B O A S T S. And it's almost like a humble brag. You get the permission to boast away, be boastful, prideful, say something.
Okay.
And for my boast, it's actually a communal boast for my beloved and Billy's Florida International University. That's right. FIU was just ranked today.
What's that?
One of the top 10 public universities in the country. Billy, we made it. We are 95th in the country.
Top 10. No, 95 is well out of the top 10.
We're set top 100. I said top 100. I bring this up because there's a lot of university snobbery going on in our office sometimes. Kornheiser always loves to bring up like university rankings. And US News and World Report is like, that's a good thing.